Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us for today's brand new Healthline 3, where we love to focus on ways to help you live a healthier, pain-free, and heart-healthy life. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be taking your calls and answering your questions. We're going to be opening up the phone lines so you can give us a call. The number to call is 318-219-4569. And today's featured guest, excited to have Dr. Syed Mahmood from the Red River Cardiovascular Surgeons at Willis-Knighton. So, Dr. Mahmood, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It really is our pleasure. And you know, October 1st, you and I were kind of talking about this, the beginning of Heart Health Month. So your visit today is perfect.
Yes, sir. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, for sure. So, Dr. Mahmood, my first obvious question is, what are we going to be talking about today in the Healthline?
We're going to be talking about heart disease prevention and treatment today.
Okay, very good. And there's a lot tied in with that, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And so let's just get right to it. I mean, obviously, when people think of the heart and the worst thing that could happen is a heart attack. So, you know, how prevalent is it and is getting a heart attack in this part of the nation, living in the Deep South? I know we got some delicious food that certainly can contribute to that.
Oh, for sure. Smoking, sedentary lifestyle,
yeah,
and eating our good Cajun food is all risk factors for having heart disease. If you're age of 45, you have almost a 50% chance of developing heart disease in the South.
Say that one more time. Give me that age one more time.
45 years old.
45.
50% through the rest of your life to develop heart disease.
It's my goodness. High. That is very high. I had no idea. And 45 still, I mean, yeah, I'll be celebrating a birthday. We don't need to go into me, but yeah, I'm getting close to that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and you said 50%. That's
some kind of heart disease. Doesn't mean you're going to have a heart attack, but you're going to have some kind of heart disease.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that is astounding. So, wow, that's just kind of increased my questions like tenfold here. So
let's
jump right into it. And let's talk about what are the warning signs of a heart attack.
I think the most important sign is going to be chest pain, and that's the most common sign. Chest pain, you can have jaw pain, neck pain, back pain. Some people can have symptoms like you're having acid reflux, all those things, you know, especially if you're having these pains when you're exerting yourself, like walking or running, jogging, or mowing your yard. All those should make you worry about those, and you got to tell your primary care about that.
Now that was going to bring me to my next question. There are some times where I've felt like my chest hurts. How do you differentiate between some pain that you may be feeling in your lungs versus what is actually your heart? And I guess to branch off of that, when do you ask your doctor? I don't want to bug my primary care physician every time my chest hurts, but or should I?
I think you should. I mean, that's the job of the primary care. His job is to know and treat and differentiate. So lung pain is, most of it is after you get off a coughing episode. If you've been sick for some time, you can develop costochondritis. If you smoked when you were a young kid, or lot of times when you're 12 years old, you start smoking, and you can have pneumothoraxes that can cause chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
That chest pain would be a little different. It'll be constant. You can't breathe, but it's really a physician's job to differentiate between those two kinds. If you're a smoker, you don't pay attention to your cholesterol, you're a male over the age of 45, and you're having any kind of chest pain, then it's pretty much heart disease till proven otherwise.
Wow, interesting. So you should just assume that there could be an issue there.
Yeah,
until you're told not.
Oh yeah.
And that's kind of like in the medical world, sometimes we deal with pain and we just think that it's going to go away if we wait long enough, or maybe I'll pop an aspirin and then hope for the best. But does that pain, does it go away? Does it come back? Or is it just kind of always lingering right there?
Most time, pain that's related to heart disease goes away. If it's lingering, that's a medical emergency. You need to come to the hospital.
Wow.
If that means you're having an active heart attack. But most people will have angina, meaning they'll only have this pain when they're exerting themselves. And you sit, you're okay. And that means the muscle is not requiring that. So if you're having chest pain constant, you know, especially pain radiating to your jaw, females usually have atypical chest pain, meaning they'll have more GERD-like symptoms or back pain. all that's worrisome, especially if it's not going away.
My goodness. Yeah? Dr. Mahmood, you're surprising me right now. But it's, yeah, when you talk about you having a constant pain in your heart, I mean, I've heard people say that they have it regularly, and you're telling me this could be a heart attack, right. Potential heart attack.
Absolutely.
Wow, geez. So we combine that with a 45, you jump up to a 50% risk of having some kind of heart disease. This is these numbers are pretty alarming.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and is this these numbers that you're giving me, are these just in the South, or is this across America?
This is actually across America.
So it could be worse here.
Oh, it could be worse, yeah.
Wow. Jeez. All right. Want to tell you right now, the phone lines are officially open. 318-219-4569. If you may be experiencing chest pains or have some concerns when it comes to anything dealing with your heart, your chest, now is a really good time. I know we've only been doing this now for 6 minutes, and I am learning so much from Dr. Mahmood. He's the pro, Red River Cardiovascular Surgeons at Willis-Knighton. So let's talk about some of the things that contribute to it. I got more to talk about when it comes to the impacts from this, because this is scary stuff. When you talk about your heart controls everything. I mean, it's the blood supply to your brain, your feet. It's what keeps you alive. So I guess, to be frank, you shouldn't mess around when it comes to your heart.
Oh yeah, your heart stops, you die. So heart is the hardest working muscle in your body. I mean, it beats at least 60 times a minute or higher if you need it throughout, since when you're born till the day you die. And our definition of death is heart stopping. So it is the most important.
And Dr. Mahmood, I've heard it referred to as, well, the heart's a muscle, so it's good to work that muscle. But,
right.
You know, does your heart, you don't want it to grow, right? Does it? If you work out, does your heart grow? Or
no, it usually actually does not grow. It grows when you're having heart failure. Uh-huh. So if you have a heart attack, the muscle gets damaged and it doesn't eject as well, and that makes the heart grow, and that's actually bad for you. Cardiomegaly is bad.
Okay. Jeez. There's so much I'm learning today. This is fascinating. I'm really glad you're here today to talk, especially with Hearty Health Heart Month. And so let's go right to the phone lines. Again, they are open. Let me give you that number, 318-219-4569. We have Kathy on the line right now. Kathy, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Mahmood?
Thank you. Dr. Mahmood, I'm 7 years old, no known heart trouble, and I walk about 30 minutes a day around in my backyard. Occasionally, I've noticed that I've had some rather dull pain in my upper left part of my chest.
Uh-huh.
Once I sit down, it goes away. Of course, I have a concern, but also I have so many gastric problems like GERD. I have backaches. So how do you know what to do? I mean, when you have a constant, gastric problems, and I mean, how do you determine? I don't want to go to the doctor every day of my life.
Kathy, I think you saying you're working out 30 minutes in your yard and having this pain, I mean, that's, you know, classical angina. I would go to your primary care doctor, he'll do an EKG, and he'll refer to a cardiologist who will, you know, start with probably a stress test and go from there. But I think it needs to be looked at. I mean, you're in the right age group, and I think we need to make sure this is nothing serious. I mean, worse if your doctor will see the EKG and say you're fine. So never feel guilty about talking to us about the symptoms you're feeling.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Doctor.
Our pleasure.
All right, Kathy, thank you so much for the call. That was a great question, actually. Just talking to Dr. Mahmood about the pain, what's normal, what isn't. And I'm kind of hearing, if I'm taking this right, that any pain that you're experiencing in your chest is not that any pain's a good thing, but it could be more alarming than you think it is.
Absolutely. You know, it's in medicine, it's not good to put your head in the sand and, you know, if you come to us early, we can fix it relatively easily. Mm-hmm. The longer you wait, just because you're having pain and you're going to a physician doesn't make you hypochondriac. If you're having pain, tell us, please.
Yeah, that's obviously a sign that something is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, because it's not like you stub your toe. You're obviously going to feel it, but you probably shouldn't obviously have chest pains, right? Let's talk about the people that are probably more at risk for developing heart disease and probably more at risk for having a heart attack. I know hereditary. We touched on stress. Right. Let's talk about hereditary. If you have a family member that has had a heart attack before, does that make you more likely that you could potentially have a heart attack?
Absolutely. If you have a male family member under the age of 55, or a female first-degree relative, which is, you know, your first cousin or somebody like that, like a brother, sister, or first cousin who is over the age of 65 and has a heart attack, you are much more likely, three times likelier than the general population to have a heart attack.
Three times. Wow. This is pretty alarming stuff when you look at the numbers. So, I mean, looking at my family history, not to divulge too much, but, you know, my grandfather had a heart attack. So, obviously, once I hit that number 45, I need to really focus on, hey, this could be a thing for me, too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. When it comes to dealing with stress, where do you draw that line that I think everybody can think of times and things in their life that stress them out? Where do you differentiate between what normal stress would be versus something that could impact your heart, or could just any stress under the right circumstances kind of start causing some serious problems?
People process and handle stress differently. It just depends on your personality. If you have a type A personality, and again, this is a medical term, meaning if you're always worried about things, and if a little thing going out kilter makes you very stressed out, that's worrisome. You know what it does, it increases your cortisol, which is a hormone in your body, and that can increase your heart rate, you know, all those things. It's just how you handle stress. If you handle stress right, meaning if it doesn't really bother you, you know, it doesn't affect you. If you have one of those personalities in which you're, again, there's actually a paper, if you have a vengeful personality, that actually increases your heart chances of having heart disease too.
Okay. Let's talk about something. I may not want to know the answer to this, but drinking coffee and caffeine. I had someone today actually kind of refer to the fact that I drink too much coffee.
Right.
What does that do to your heart?
You know, there are some studies that say one or two cup of coffee is good for you. There are some studies that say it's just not. I mean, it's off. It's dealer's choice. I'm personally a big time caffeine drinker. My friend's not. I'm not sure there's a clear association within, you know, having a couple of cups of coffee. But each time you have coffee, the caffeine causes tachycardia, which can cause stress your heart, especially if you have heart disease. So a couple of cups, I think, a day is okay, in my opinion.
Okay. So just like we've heard a lot in the medical world, moderation is key.
Yeah, like drinking red wine. One or two glasses, you know, not the big glass, a regular glass is okay. More than that, it's not.
I didn't want to get into all my vices, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Thank you, doctor. Well, just want to remind you right now, the phone lines are open. If you may be experiencing chest pain or have some issues, you want to get some answers and just kind of let the doctor know about it. Dr. Mahmood from Red River Cardiovascular Surgeons, Willis Knighton. He's the heart doctor, and that's what we're here to do, is get your questions answered. So 318-219-4569. And not only for you watching at home right now, but also if you have a family member you may be concerned about when it comes to dealing with heart disease, the impacts of heart attack, and just preventing that. That is today's topic. So let's get back to some of these questions. Does chest pain, is it always as bad? Does it always end up leading to a heart attack?
No, most of the time it's not. If, let's say, for example, you had a trauma, you pulled a muscle, that's technically chest pain. GERD is very common out there. A lot of guys especially have it. Not necessarily, but like Kathy was describing, pain when you're exerting yourself, that's worrisome for heart disease and angina.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier, too, that heartburn. What heartburn is associated with your stomach, too. How do you differentiate that when you're sitting at home? Because I've heard that people can easily mistake the two. Should that be another question that you bring up to your primary care physician? And how do you go about that?
You know,
differentiating.
If you have a history of heartburn, so their males will typically have typical chest pain, which is chest pain radiating to the left jaw, sometimes to the right jaw. females traditionally have more atypical chest pain symptoms, includes back pain like our lady was having, or GERD like symptoms, especially if you're diabetic. If you're diabetic, actually you can have a silent MI, you wouldn't even know, you don't hurt sometimes. The way to differentiate is if it's associated with eating. Mm-hmm. If it's associated with eating, usually GERD, when you eat something, it reduces your acid and it'll make the pain go away. While if you're having pain that's related to your heart, usually eating will not make much of a difference. There are a few instances it can, but 99.9% of the time it does not. And especially if you take a Tums, oral antacid makes it go away, then it's not your heart.
Okay. If it is the heart, let's talk about the differences. I find this fascinating too, between men versus women. Are there differences when it comes to the heart concerns? Do women experience symptoms differently than men? Break that down for us with the different of the sexes.
Absolutely. Well, if you're a female and if you're premenopausal, meaning you haven't gone through menopause, you actually have a much lower chance of having heart disease. Like I was saying, 45 male has 50% heart disease for the rest of his life, and females of the same age only have a 33% chance. So estrogen is protective. Most females have a higher pain threshold. You know, they birth children, guys have very low.
Women are tough.
Yeah, women are very tough.
Yes.
So they will ignore or sit on things. Believe it or not, the mortality in females is higher because they'll sit on things more than males will. And the symptoms most females have sometimes can be more atypical. Like I said, GERD symptoms, back pain, they think they pull their muscle and they'll sit on it. And you know, if the pain is means that there's damage happening to the heart. And if it's too much damage, there's not much we can do to fix it. Once you lose a muscle, you lost it. It doesn't come back.
For you dealing with your heart, wow, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Mahmood, I've heard the term a lot. Maybe I kind of misinterpreted myself. What is a heart palpitation? And necessarily, what does that mean, first off, and how does that contribute to making things worse?
If you're younger, 20-year-olds can have some arrhythmias, they can have some PVCs. Mm-hmm. If you're older, heart palpitation could be a sign of atrial fibrillation or some kind of arrhythmias that could be life-threatening. So either or. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they're older, you can't drink as much caffeine. This happened to one of my friends. He drinks caffeine, he gets palpitation because he goes into arrhythmia, so he's not allowed to. So if you're older and you feel as if your heart is racing, it could be you having arrhythmias, and now with Apple Watch you can check it if your heart rate's higher. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to a physician who can do an EKG and know for sure, but it's something you should not sit on.
Okay. One thing, another aspect of this that I find to be fascinating is a lot of people, when it comes to our nerves and things like that, the amount of people that feel like they're having a heart attack versus what it turns out to be would be a panic attack. Mm-hmm. Are those two similar? Do they coincide in any way?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, tell us about that.
Anxiety, and again, that's how you deal with stress. Mm-hmm. Sometimes anxiety attacks can look exactly like you're having a heart attack. It's very hard to differentiate. For people, sometimes we get called to the ER, they're having anxiety attack, we check an EKG, we check an enzyme, we do an ultrasound, make sure everything is okay, but the symptoms can be exactly the same, and the only way to know for sure is actually make sure that there's no harm happening to the muscle.
Okay. Wow. I mean, yeah, I find myself sometimes divulging too much of my personal health on these health lines because I immediately think, one time I thought I was having a heart attack. It felt like it. I've never had one before, knock on wood, but what my doctor told me was, it was a panic attack, but I can easily see how people could think that. You start losing, you're short of breath and tunnel vision. You think, oh, I'm going to fall.
For sure.
Yeah, fall
same
down,
symptoms.
Wipe out. And that's very fascinating there. But when differentiating the two, looking back, I'm glad I did reach out to my doctor who could easily be able to figure that out. Because had I not, you don't want to roll the dice.
Oh, no.
And you stay at home and just assume that this is just a panic attack. And it's not
right,
then you could wind up in really bad shape.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, no kind of chest pain unless, you know, you got hit by a rock in your chest. I mean, that's a baseball. That's different. Mm-hmm. But any other chest pain you're having, you need to let your primary physician know.
Okay. Thanks for backing me up on that one, because it certainly is a scary.
Oh, for sure.
No doubt about that. All right, we got 10 minutes left. So I just want to reiterate, too, this is a great time for you to give us a call, 318-219-4569. If you may be experiencing chest pain, I want to talk about some of the symptoms that you or loved ones have. We have Dr. Syed Mahmood from the Red River Cardiovascular Surgeons at Willis-Knighton here, and we're talking about ways to keep you heart healthy. That's what the entire month of February is dedicated to, and especially this health line. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of what you do, sir. When some of the patients that you see, what is the typical patient for Dr. Mahmood, and what are some things that you do to help them out?
You can think of me as a human plumber.
Okay.
They call me if you have bad valves or you need bad blockages that they cannot stent. So the most common operation I think I perform is a coronary artery bypass grafting. I take blood from maybe your chest wall, the left chest wall, and take these veins from your leg and put it on your heart, and I bypass the obstruction. The other more common operations we do is valves, you know, just like a valve in almost any machinery, it goes bad. Your heart's been pumping for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Sometimes the valves start going bad and they'll call me to replace them. In the last 10 years, we have had a lot of technology advancements. Two of the valves, aortic especially, it's actually safer to do it from the groin without opening you up. Mm-hmm. It's called a TAVR procedure. We do quite a few of them. And for mitral valve repairs, we can also go from your groin in some instances, and you can go home the next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So major heart surgery, you're walking out the door the next day.
Sometimes.
Maybe wheeled out, I guess,
yeah.
But okay. Wow, that is fascinating. Because, I mean, you look back on heart surgery in the past several decades, I mean, it could be bad. I mean, you'd be laid up for months, but
yeah,
that's pretty fascinating. Interesting. All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines one more time. We have Doris on the line. Doris, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Mahmood?
I have a congestive heart failure. They call it a Widowmaker's heart. I've been taking medicine, I guess, for right at 4 years.
Uh-huh.
I've had one heart attack during that period, and I have an abnormality of two veins coming into the heart, and it's 50% blocked, but I guess it's pretty much even on both.
Okay.
Okay, and I was told after 5 years it'd all disappear and it'd go away.
You said it'll go away?
Yeah, they said it would go away. You know, they'd check me again, but it should be gone.
You know, usually we don't fix anything in the heart unless it's left main, unless it's above 70%. So, you know, having a 50% obstruction itself doesn't mean that we need to intervene on it, Doris. You know, congestive heart failure, the primary treatment for that is medicine. If the medicine doesn't work, or sometimes you qualify for ICDs, which is something we can do to put a turbocharger on an old engine, or there's Barostims before we can go the other route. You just need to, hopefully you have a good cardiologist and he should be able to manage most of your symptoms.
Yeah, I've been told to take 3 to 4 aspirin when I start having the symptoms of a heart attack, and it really passes, it does pass.
Okay.
It passes.
Oh, wow. Is that your cardiologist who told you that?
Actually, it was primary care, because cardiologists hadn't told me anything about what I could do if I started having a heart attack. So it was primary care that told me that.
Yeah, aspirin helps.
Yes, it does.
All right, great.
Well,
Doris.
Well, so...
I'm sorry, go ahead, Doris.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, anyway, the 5 years is almost up. Do I need to possibly make an appointment and get it checked?
Absolutely, Doris. I would either call the cardiologist who saw you first or have your primary refer to a new one. But I would get it checked, especially if you're having
All right,
symptoms requiring aspirin.
Right. I appreciate it.
For sure.
All right. Thank you for the call, Doris. Absolutely. We want to keep everybody heart healthy. So just about 5 minutes to go. We're going to be shutting down the phone lines in just a couple of minutes, but we could probably take one or two more callers, 318-219-4569, if you've got a question about anything heart-related or having some chest pains or issues. Dr. Mahmood, again, from Red River Cardiovascular Surgeons from Willis-Knighton, is here to answer these questions. And let's dive into some of the things you use, Dr. Mahmood, when it comes to the technology. I think that's fascinating, just going back to the fact that you could be performing some very serious surgery and folks are going home the next day. What are some of those tools that you're using, and in your years that you've been doing this, how have you seen those improve over time?
You know, I've been doing this since 2007, and in 2007, the TAVR technology was brand new and wasn't approved for humans. So all you could do was open up your chest to replace your aortic valve. Since then, there's been 4 iterations in one company and 3 iterations in the other company. There are 2 dominant companies that make it. So, you know, we as surgeons, them as our colleagues and our partners in there, are always trying to improve the technology. Mm-hmm. Technology has come a long way over the last 10 years since this device has been approved. The mitral valve realm was maybe 5-6 years ago we got it, and there's one technology that's been approved for 5-6 years, and there are 2 others in there, and they're really spending a lot of money, resources, trying to find a better way. So
that is fascinating.
Yeah, exactly.
That is very cool to see. So in the entire time of human history, now is the best time if you have some heart issues to get because the medical advancements are here and you guys are using them right now at Willis-Knighton.
Yes, we are.
That is awesome. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Just a couple more minutes. Nancy, good afternoon. What's your question for Dr. Mahmood?
Oh, I am so glad to talk to you, Dr. Mahmood. I have a wonderful thing. I have a wonderful thing to tell you. You and Dr. Mark Smith saved my life with a wonderful surgery.
Thank you for saying that, Nancy.
Yeah, that's nice to hear, Nancy. You may need to turn your TV down just a little bit, get a little feedback there. But that's great.
Okay.
That's great. Now, is she referring to your partner, your colleague there?
Dr. Mark Smith is a general surgeon.
Okay.
You know, Nancy, I don't know your last name. I don't remember what surgery I did, so I want to apologize.
Well.
But I'm glad we were able to help you.
And I'm sure that's a common result, too, and that's got to be great to hear.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about, too, you know, when it comes to dealing with some of the things that when do people typically get in the office to see you? Are they recommended by their primary care physician? Should people that already have existing heart conditions reach out to you after they've gone through that route? Just walk us through for those watching at home right now.
I think the first step is talking to your primary care. He'll make a referral to the cardiologist. By the time the patients come to me, they've already had the angiograms, they already had ultrasound of the heart, which is called an echo, and I get a picture that these are the problems, can you help them, can you fix them? It's my job to tell you what I can or cannot do and what is fixable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is probably one of the biggest questions that I'd like to ask too, especially for me. What can I do or what can we do to have a healthier heart? Is it, you know, we've mentioned stress and caffeine and things like that, but what's, you know, I want to hear it from you. What are some things that we can do to keep a heart healthy?
Absolutely. You know, the first thing is diet, healthy diet, exercise at least 30 minutes a day. There's a study saying if you could walk more than 2 miles a day, you have a less chance of heart disease. You know, things you can change. You can change your genetics, but things you can change is your level of activity, not being overweight, eating healthy, especially olive oil is part of it, and having a generally stress-free lifestyle. And if something stresses you out too much, try not to do it.
That is good advice, yes. So, stay calm, get some exercise, and live a heart healthy life. That is some good advice there, Doc. Now, for those that need to get in, are you taking patients right now?
Oh, yes. You know, there's just either you can Google Red River Cardiovascular Surgery or you can call us at 318-227-9777.
Okay, fantastic. Well, this really has been very enlightening. You gave us some great things to think about, too, and definitely some tips to live a healthier heart life. So, Dr. Mahmood, thank you so much for being here today.
Appreciate you having me.
It certainly was our pleasure. And remember, for much more, reach out to Red River Cardiovascular Surgeons at Willis-Knighton. Great Healthline 3 today. That's going to do it. Have a great day.